Well, good morning. It's glad to see all of you here this morning, and hope our time together is going to be encouraging, and we have asked the Lord to bless this day and the time we have together. I have given it as a title. The message is Psalms 23. If you would like to turn your Bibles there to follow through, I would like to do a brief study of Psalms in the light of, or through the eyes of, a shepherd. A little bit of what Jonathan shared this morning, how sometimes Old Testament scripture is, sometimes it's spoken to them, it can also be for us, but to the people of that time it sounded different or maybe had a total different idea. And I think that's the way it is with Psalms. As we read through it, it's comforting to read. And but when we actually look at it through the eyes of a shepherd, what he was actually saying, I think there's more there for us. There's a lot of care that goes into sheep that we don't raise livestock anymore. But that's who Jesus was talking to, or David. David was talking to people that understood sheep, and that was their livelihood. And then at the end, I also have, I have something up here for the children. I would like to, I'm going to try to keep it brief so I can spend some time with them. And if they cannot see, well, they're free to come up and take a look. It has something to do with what reminded me of when they came up from the class. They had these cotton balls on their papers, and this has a lot of cotton balls too. So, yeah. So I would, I'm going to try to keep it short so we can have time for the children. From the culture where I come from, the children will always be up in this front rows right here. And I always found that to be very encouraging. And I think it's important that we do not forget the young minds and engage them. So I'm going to go ahead and read the passage first, and then we'll come back. We will read it and try to explain what, how it applies to sheep, but then also how it applies to our lives. Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." If you take note, down to the third verse, he's talking about God. And then as he contemplates about God, he turns to God and talks to God. I find that interesting. He's talking about God. And isn't that how during the day, when we meditate on the Lord and his goodness, sometimes a worship arises within us and we just turn to him and exclaim his goodness and just proclaim the goodness of the Lord in our lives, and we tell him how he's been faithful in those things. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So often, as a child, I would walk through people's homes, and I would see these plaques on the wall with Psalms 23 on it. And I don't know if it's still a popular plaque or not, but I think it should be. So coming back to the Lord, is my shepherd. People are a lot like sheep. And a lot of times it's said that sheep are not very smart animals and they need a shepherd, which is kind of true. Today we will look at more of that and get a better understanding of why we need the good shepherd. We need the good shepherd to lead us every moment of the way. There's a story of back in... I think it was USA Today. There's an article of how 1,500 sheep went over a cliff. One sheep slipped and all the rest jumped. So, but only 450 of them died because they had the padding of the rest of them underneath them. And I just had to think, is that really the way we want to go through life? And we do that sometimes. We see somebody else do something, and well, if he does it, it's surely okay if I do. The shepherd didn't go over the cliff, but the sheep did. And so that's one example that was in there that I thought, we are so much like sheep. We see one person do something, and well, if he does it, then I will. We used to have some sheep at home. If you corral sheep up into a pen, and you hold a stick across the door, and somebody goes in and chases them out and forces them to jump the stick, you pull the stick away, all the rest of them will jump. By the tail end of it, some are jumping in the wrong spot, but they're still jumping. they see the first one do it, and they continue that way. Then David continues and says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When a sheep lies down in a green pasture, there has to be, certain things have to be in place for a sheep to lie down. The shepherd didn't go out and force each one to lie down. Only time that a shepherd forced a sheep was when he had to shear it. But in order for a sheep to lie down, they have to be free from fear. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. Sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even a stray jackrabbit suddenly bounding from behind a bush can stampede a whole herd or flock. When one startled sheep runs in fright, a dozen others will bolt with it in blind fear, not waiting to see what frightened them. And that is one of the things that has to be in place, is a sheep has to be free from fear. Second one is the sheep will lie down when there is no tension with others in their kind. They will remain restless when there is friction within the flock. Number three is sheep will lie down when they are not tormented by flies or parasites. Only when free from these pests can they relax. And number four, they will lie down when they are free from hunger. Sheep will not lie down as long as they are feel in need of finding food. When we go back and we think of our body here, when we live in fear, how can we feed on the Word of God in a healthy way? And when there is tension with others of our kind, or if there is... if we are tormented with temptations, thoughts, we struggle with those, we can't relax. And when we are fed, when the Word of God has been given to us and we feed on the Word of God, that is when the sheep can lie down. And the sheep will, when they're relaxing, that's when they will actually fully digest their food. When you see a cow or a sheep chewing its cud, you know it's doing well. It's relaxed. There's very few times I hunt deer, and I think there's only one time that I have found a deer chewing its cud. And when you find a deer that's chewing its cud, you know you have found him in a very, you caught him unawares. Because any little scent, he will not be chewing his cud. Because there'll be fear and friction, tension. So that, if we go and read what David had written, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Another thing about the still waters is that refers to as fresh water or quiet waters. A sheep does not like to drink from moving water, like a stream that's flowing. Shepherds, with a lot of time when they're out in the open country, they would, if they have a sheep out in the country where they take their drink from the water, they would go ahead and walk in front of the sheep, and they would take little rocks and kind of make a little curve out to the side and make the water pool. And the sheep would readily drink from that pool. It would also allow any sediment and all this dirt and stuff to settle to the bottom. I just find it interesting that how much care it takes for the raised sheep out in the open country. I've been thinking about how this would apply to us. Do we take the time as brothers and sisters to go up and create a safe place for fellow travelers to drink from? I was thinking along the lines of sometimes we make dams, or we try to make a pool, a safe place in our church for make it easier for a wandering traveler to take a drink. But do we make it so high and so tall that they wander off somewhere else and to drink? And on the other hand side, are some sheep not willing to allow the shepherd to prepare a quiet pool that's safe to drink from? Has their thirst of truth been disregarded for so long that they'll drink anything that looks like water? And we drink from that dirty stream that's filled with false doctrine, false information, bacteria that eventually infests our soul, to the point that even the gentle warning of the shepherd goes disregarded. Striking out on our own. So I would encourage us to, you know, the pastors here are your under-shepherds, and they make an honest attempt to bring you information and lay out scriptures that are accurate and sound. Not saying that you can't go elsewhere to find information, but there is something to be said to be careful. Just like the sheep, like there's the intake that you take into your mind, the teachings, the doctrine will eventually affect you. And then verse 3, he restoreth my soul. After having a fresh drink of water, like it's amazing how quickly you forget your parched throat. Sometimes you're working and you just think, oh, if I just have a drink of water. And just that nice cold cup of water takes away that thirst that you've had. And you feel satisfied. You feel like keeping on going and doing your job. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice that it says for his name's sake. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Tony has more than once shared how the righteousness of God is the right doing of God. And that always helps me to keep that in proper light. The right doing of God, we're led in his paths by his right doing. He will always get it right. And I'm always encouraged to know that he leads us in those paths for his glory, not our own. We don't know what that's going to look like. You lay down your own ideas of how your life should be spent and allow Jesus to spend it for you. Resignation. Isaiah 53:7 would state it this way. He was oppressed, talking about Jesus. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he openeth not his mouth. That's Jesus being led in the paths of righteousness for his Father's glory. Was it easy? No. But he knew who his Father was. He knew his goal. There's lots of things that we can do as brothers and sisters to help encourage others to walk that path. There's something I wanted to leave with you. Is there something out of this message that that I want you to remember is this, is I will do the right thing in the midst of hard things. I will do the right thing in the midst of hard things. Sometimes you do not feel like doing it. And if you wait to do the right thing until your feelings are right, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities. I have found for myself that if I do the right thing, even when I'm not feeling like it, my spirit will follow. The response of the other person, I think God blesses that. And sometimes we can't change our own attitude. Sometimes we need the finger of God to touch something in our lives. So if we do the right thing during the hard times, God notices that. It's when we use our spirit man to bring our flesh into control. We ask God, I can't do this myself. Would you help me do the right thing? So if you remember that, I will do the right thing in the midst of hard things. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As a shepherd, sometimes they would take the sheep far from their sheepfold in order to find green grass. We always picture, a lot of pictures on the wall, we see this big pasture with green grass. Well, that's not how it is in the Middle East. They had to actually go places and move from place to place to find these little patches of grass. And sometimes, depending on what time of the year it was, it'd take them a long time to return home. And they would take a route that maybe there was a cliff on one side, or maybe went through a valley and there was wolves there. Maybe enemies trying to get the stragglers. But to the comfort of the sheep would have come to know that maybe just through the dim light, just ahead, they could still see the shepherd walking. And his gentle, encouraging words, and they knew that he had a staff to rescue them if one slipped, and he also had a rod to defend himself. The rod was, in the Bible times, the rod was often used for counting the sheep, and also defending against enemies. And the staff was more used for rescuing sheep. It would also be used when there's a certain time of the year when they would have the annual shearing. They would also pass all the sheep in front of them, and he would stop them with his staff. And if there's a sheep that needed special attention, he would pull it in and take it and do with it whatever needed to be done. The rod was also used. You can actually read in Leviticus 27:32 about this, where the rod was used for the tenth part of everything was given to the Lord. So they, just from the information I've read on it, they would put a marking on the rod like a die. And every tenth sheep that passed under the rod, they would mark. That was the Lord's. The shepherd didn't get to choose the best ones or the worst ones. They just crawl them up, and as they pass them through, they marked them. And if there was a choice sheep, that shepherd was like, oh no, that one's going to God. There were special procedures he had to take if he wanted to keep that sheep. It was more than double that he had to repay if he wanted to trade out a sheep. So that's one way that you'll read of passing under the rod. And I found that interesting that we can actually read of that in Leviticus 27:32. There's other references off of that. That's something you can do homework on if you like history. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Part where it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, some translations would give, thou preparest a table before me in the face of mine enemies. When a shepherd would take his sheep to a field, he wouldn't just turn his sheep into the field and let them feed. He would have them lie down, and he would walk the perimeter and walk through the field. There's weeds that grew in the area that if a sheep would eat these weeds, it'd kill them. There's noxious weeds. There's also snakes, serpents, and cliffs. There's certain areas that he wanted to keep his sheep away from. So he went out and he did a survey of the area first. And he prepared a table for them, for a safe place for them to eat. And I think that's also how God does for us. As long as we stay within his will, he goes before us. And Jonathan shared before, like sometimes we view safety as physical safety. It is not. It is, as long as we stay within his will, our souls and our spirits are safe. There's nothing that can separate us from God if we stay within his hand. But he does have our well-being in mind. He goes ahead, he goes before us, and he prepares a table for us. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I think that's also something that sometimes we miss a lot, is that the shepherds actually did anoint their sheep's heads with oil. They would mix, trying to think what it was. It was olive oil and frankincense. Sometimes it was like essential oils with it. They would anoint their sheep to keep the flies away from their heads. Those flies that would actually come and go in their noses and lay eggs, and that would actually grow and it would start burrowing into their flesh. And that would drive sheep crazy. Sometimes they would go crashing through the woods and banging their heads against trees, trying to get rid of this pain. And sometimes it was extreme cases, the sheep would kill itself trying to get rid of this pain. And anointing was kept the flies away, and there's also a scab that it prevented. There's this mite that would go in the ears, and it, if left alone, it would attack the brain and it'd do the same thing. There's extreme pain. The sheep would eventually die or go blind. If it survived, a lot of times they went blind. And so the shepherd would, that was a regular thing, was to anoint the sheep with oil. Now they have washes that they put the sheep through today. But he says, my cup runneth over. The shepherd had plenty of oil. And I liken that to when we have the Spirit's anointing in our lives, we're protected from those dark thoughts, attacks, thought patterns. Like, there's so many things that we think that are not in line with God that we don't really realize it until God puts his finger on it and says, that's not a healthy thought pattern. And if left to ourselves, there's people that have been driven to self-destruction because of those thoughts, those torment in the mind. So my encouragement to you is not to refuse the Spirit's anointing that covers our thought life and patterns. I just thought it was something that I think is one of my greatest battles, was the thought life. There's so much that can go on. We can form all sorts of scenarios. Nobody ever knows. Only you and God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, that word gives the idea with assurance or confidence in a sure, unhesitating manner, is how he makes his statement. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwell is also translated as stay. I will stay in the house of the Lord forever. The next portion of the message is going to be for the children, but I'm going to tie these two back together again. Psalms 23 and the message for the children. If the parents are okay, I'd like for them to maybe come up here and I'll show them what I have. Children actually helped me, if you want to just seat along here on the floor. Probably, I don't know, it was probably past 9 o'clock last night, they were out in the shop helping me make this. And it's a sheep. He looks pretty crude, and there's reasons for it. Yeah, he looks crude. Before we're done with it, Sadie was trying to ride it. So his name is Shrek, and I don't know if you've ever read up on Shrek. It's not that little orc or monster that you have probably seen, and you see him around, these ugly pictures. But he got his name from the life that he led. And I was just curious, do you think that's something you'd want to pet? No? Pretty rough. I think he's going to need a shearing to get rid of that. You could probably pull it out, but he'd lose a lot of his wool. But there was a sheep. It was a merino weather. He was from Australia. They raised a lot of sheep there. And he managed to escape the annual muster, which is when they gather all the sheep every year to be shorn. And he managed to escape that shearing for 6 years. He would hide in caves, and he looked terrible by the time they actually caught him. I'm going to go ahead and read the backstory on it. Shrek was a merino weather. Weather is a male sheep, but not a ram. Belonging to a sheep station in New Zealand, which gained international fame in 2004, after avoiding being caught and shorn for 6 years. Merinos are normally shorn annually, but Shrek apparently hid in caves avoiding muster, he was named after the fictional org in the books and films of the same. After finally being caught on April 15, 2004, the weather was shorn by a professional in 20 minutes on April 28th, about 2 weeks later. 2 weeks after his capture, they took the clippers to him. And the shearing was broadcasted on national television in New Zealand. His fleece contained enough wool to make 20 large men's suits. Weighing 60 pounds. The average shearing weighs 10 pounds. So 60 pounds. There's also another sheep that excels him, and that's a Barak. He made 78 pounds. That's something you'll have to research sometime. Shrek became a national icon. He was taken to the parliament meeting to meet the then New Zealand Prime Minister, Helen Clark. Parliament, if I understand it correctly, would be kind of like Congress, or he went to meet the president. That's how important he became because of his messy wool. Yeah, he got to see the president. And that was to celebrate his 10th birthday. 30 months after his initial shearing, Shrek was shorn again on an iceberg floating out on the coast of New Zealand. Then he was euthanized at age 16. They put Shrek to sleep. He was an old sheep, but he was also very popular. And if you go online, you can still find stories on him. But the danger, we do not see a lot in the message of Psalms of shearing, but that is a very, very important part of a sheep's life. When they are not shorn, there's a danger of them overheating. And then there's also the bugs. And there's a lot of stuff that gets into their wool that festers. And when they can't regulate their heat, body temperature, they also become sick and underweight. And there's also another portion of a sheep that when they have this weight on them, think 60 pounds on a sheep that's underweight. It's not feeding well. They can't see. That's another thing. Shrek could not see when they brought him back. Barak actually was so bad that he couldn't close his eyelids because the weight of the wool pulled his skin away from his eyes, and he had eye infection. Sharing is very important, but he thought he had better ideas. He thought he didn't have to be sheared or didn't want to be sheared. Maybe one of the under-shepherds got a little wild with his shears one time and thought maybe I'll skip out. I don't know. But there's a sheep becoming cast is when they have so much weight on them that they happen to roll over on their backs and they can't get up. It's like a turtle on its back. And they will die within 24 hours unless somebody finds them. That is why when he leaves the 99, I think it's with urgency that he goes to find the lost sheep. And you also get your annual physical then. That's when they have the annual shearing, they would also have the opportunity to look at the condition of the sheep. With all its wool removed, you could see if there's any wounds. You could tend to those. And but when we avoid the shearing of God in our lives, we get this. How many of us have been like that? I think we all have at some point led a life like Shrek and have avoided allowing God to bring those shears in our life and to trim us back. It's not a good experience, but it is very needful. I was thinking of different examples of how we can relax and come to God and allow Him to have His way. We are all invited to meet the chief shepherd. You know, when someone actually becomes a sheep, you don't have a choice of being a goat again. A domesticated sheep will always have to be shorn. A wild sheep, from its original environment, did not have to be shed. But once you have joined the household of faith, you are a sheep. And you will need a shepherd. At the end of this life, the sheep and the goats will be separated. But there's also sheep that refuse to be shorn. And I think those will also go with the goats. It's very painful. Sometimes, as he's going through our wool that he's shorn off, he'll ask, "Where have you been? What have you been doing?" It's pretty obvious where he's been. He's been out in the brambles. And what he's picked up along the way isn't something that's very desirable. But once he's shorn, he's got another chance. And if we think that we can go through life, if I can think that I can go through life without that, I'll end up like this. And if people stand back and maybe they do not want to be too close, obviously the children aren't too worried about it. They're trying to pick the cockleburrs off, I think. But yeah, you're free to go. It's just I wanted to show you what a sheep looks like that has tried doing life on its own. So if you ever decide to join the flock and you become one of God's sheep, there's no going back. You'll always be a sheep and you'll always need Jesus Christ. Christ, the chief shepherd, to take care of you. You're free to go back to your seats. So, we have seen in Psalms how a well-cared-for sheep prospers, and then we have Shrek, who tried doing life on his own. And my invitation is to meet the master sheep shearer. He is the one who can remove the unwanted burden from our lives, but we have to allow him to have his way. So, if there's something that's in our lives that prevents us to do that, say, just relax. He is a good shepherd. And I think I will close with that. Peace and Godspeed to all those who choose to follow the way of the Master. Amen. Jake is going to close.